This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome to Top 5, a show where... Oh, I'm sorry. This week on Top 5, the top 5 places to...
Welcome to Narcoleptic 5.
Oh, I'm sorry. Top 5 places to take a nap this week. I forget who wrote this in and suggested it. You can always make a suggestion on a top 5. Podcast at majorspoilers.com. Top 5 places where we like to snooze it out. And Matthew is there.
Hello.
Rodrigo is there.
Hey.
And Matthew, why don't you start us off with your number 5, please?
Sure. My list this week comes with a caveat. And that caveat is that I have never been a napper. And even less so now that sleeping actually requires me to plug myself into a breathing machine to keep my airway from collapsing. So some of my answers are actually more hypothetical places that sound like a really great place to take a nap.
Oh, okay.
Which is why my number 5 is the Mystery Machine. And you say to me, why would you think it would be comfortable in the back of this weird GMC van? And I got to tell you, if you actually watch Scooby-Doo and the Scooby-Doo movies, which are just as good, no matter what Steven tells you, you find that the interior of the Mystery Machine is massive. It is huge. It is, as they say, bigger on the inside. First person to say wibbly wobbly timey wimey gets fired. But the inside of the Mystery Machine has not only a full kitchen, apparently, and places for everyone to sleep, apparently, and a little scooter built in, like a mini bike that Shaggy and Scooby can ride around. It just seems like it would be a really nice place to maybe go rest, because you know that Shaggy goes in the back, has a sandwich, and just zonks out for 6 to 10 hours every single day. And I imagine that Shaggy is the kind of guy who would build a really, really comfortable back of a van in which to sleep.
Except they're always on the floor, huddled next to a sleeping bag and a lantern.
Well, sure, but it's a huge floor. You know, I'm just saying, it seems like it would be really lovely to be inside the Mystery Machine, because first of all, there's always food and the food never goes bad. And it's like one of those things where you get like a chicken and ice cream and roast beef sandwich. And that sounds like it might be really good. And so I'm going to sleep in the back of the Mystery Machine, and you can't tell me different because I'm a cartoon.
I think the appeal of sleeping in the Mystery Machine would really go down if they ever invent Smell-O-Vision.
Yes, I'm sure it smells very, very funky.
I don't know. Daphne's patchouli might be able to overcome whatever that funk is.
Then it smells. Then it smells like patchouli.
I don't think she smells like patchouli. I think she smells. No. She smells like sandalwood.
Sandalwood Chanel number 5.
Yeah.
Velma smells like old books and you know, just sheer love. And I think
Fred smells like Axe body spray.
I think Fred smells like Axe body spray, and Shaggy.
Yeah, it's going to smell Shaggy. Funky in there. You're right, Rodrigo. I hope they never invent Smell-O-Vision. That would be a rank combination of odors.
No, right, Rankin Bass were the other guys. This is Hanna-Barbera.
My number 5, Matthew, is very close to yours in that there are times when I have to take my kids to karate or soccer practice or whatever other thing they have going on. And there's really not time to just drop them off, drive home, do something for 20 minutes, and then drive back. because you never know when they might be ending early, when they might be going longer, whatever it is. So I usually just sit in my car while they're practicing, and occasionally I'll listen to some podcasts or do a live stream or read a book or whatever it is. But sometimes when the weather is just right, I like to roll down all the windows in the car, lean the car back at just the right angle so the sun is not hitting my eyes but still warming up my body, and I just take a nap right there in the car by the side of the park, and it's a wonderful, wonderful time. Just a quick 20-minute nap totally just rejuvenates me, and I'm ready to get back home and record a podcast with all of you guys. So my number five place to take a nap, in the car, front seat preferably. So there you go. Rodrigo, what do you have for number five?
My number five. So my list also comes with a caveat.
Okay.
Which is that I never take naps on purpose.
Well, I don't think we take naps on purpose. I think we just kind of wink out of existence for a few hours.
So as long as we're clear on, like, these are places where I have fallen asleep.
Yes. Let's say that.
All right.
Because I don't intend to fall asleep in front of the TV. It just happens.
I think there are people out there, and I don't think any of the three of us are those people, but there are people out there who are like, you know what, I'm going to take a nap. And then they prepare a place and they have like stuff that they drink before taking a nap, or maybe they put a book or whatever. It's like, I don't do that. And it's largely because of my migraines. If I change my sleep schedule, then my migraines start to act up. So my list is like basically least terrible places I've fallen asleep. So my number five is an airplane. And it's like very specifically, it has to be like the window seat so that I can lean that way. And it's, you know, it's hard and there's a window there, but it's better than the aisle. Like, cause if you like stick your foot out of the aisle, then the cart hits you. I have a lot of difficulty sleeping in airplanes, but when I do, usually because I'm extremely tired from flying multiple times, it is the sleep of the dead.
Yeah.
It's immediate. Like the moment I'm sitting down, before we even take off, I am out. So if anybody ever wants to inception me, that's the time to do it. And then I wake up, probably pretty close to the landing. And other than the fact that I like my left ear is stuck to my left shoulder for about 20 minutes until my neck realigns, it's pretty good sleep.
There you go. Matthew, what do you have for number four?
My number four is actually one that I never thought about when I was a kid, because I don't know if you guys know this about pop culture, but a lot of times in pop culture, scale is messed up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, especially if you're a fan of Transformers, but throughout our favorite pop culture, scale is messed up. So I did not realize that my number four was as large as it was until the modern day. My number four place to take a nap would be the Millennium Falcon, because I had this ship when I was a kid. I don't know if you guys knew this. You get the Kenner version. It was like $39.95 at Walmart, which, you know, in 1980 was the equivalent of something like $7,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a ton of money. And the scale on the toy and the scale that you saw in the, you know, the droids cartoon or whatever are not the same as the ship that they actually put together and built and conceptualized. I don't think they built the whole ship back in the day. But according to the official specifications of the expanded universe, which I still believe in because, hey, alternate universes are great, Millennium Falcon is 115 feet long. And that whole rear area where they have all the space that you can, like, you know, hide spice and, you know, fight with droids and play in imaginary three-dimensional chess, whatever that game is, Dom Jot, I don't know. But
have you seen the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, like, staff picture?
No. Is it good?
Yeah, so look up Star Wars Galaxy's Edge staff photo, because they have a two-scale Millennium Falcon surrounded by a bunch of people. So if you want to see the scale of the Millennium Falcon.
Jumping fish hooks, that's enormous.
Yeah,
it is.
So,
yeah, and so in the back there, because, and I know this is true because I built one in Lego a couple years ago, there are a couple of little cots, and they're right back near the radiation, so you can die near the hyperdrive. But
I just feel like it would be nice to go and take a nap in the back of the Millennium Falcon, maybe while Han's trying to make a Kessel run in 8.5 parsecs and failing miserably and deciding to just round down from 12 and that's good enough. But I think that the main real selling point of taking a nap on the Millennium Falcon is actually being on the Millennium Falcon. And it would be nice for there to be a fat person in Star Wars whose name wasn't literally a joke about his weight. So I'm going to take a nap in the Millennium Falcon.
Well, there's also Jabba the Hutt.
Okay, that's not a person.
Yeah, he's a person.
He's not a person.
Yeah.
He's a mobile slug.
Well, he's still a being, an entity.
Even if you go and you look at the original footage where he's played by a fat guy in a fur vest, it's just like, you know, nah, I don't know. I think that guy's animatronic.
He could take a nap in the Millennium Falcon too.
Yeah, but why would you want to? I'm there.
Yeah, that's
this
true.
This is my napping space.
Yeah. Thank goodness Star Wars movies don't have smell-o-vision. My number four.
How dare you, sir?
My number four is one that kind of goes with my number five in that a nice place to take a nap is by the river. In that, if you find a nice secluded spot, and there's a spot near my home where I grew up that you kind of go down an embankment, but then there is this nice big flat giant sandstone ledge that overhangs the river, and it's warm in the summertime and it's warm in the evening of the summertime, and you can just go down there and dangle your feet off the edge and look down at the water, and the water rolls by, so you hear the rushing of the water going by, and if you happen to have a blanket with you and some alcohol that may make you a little sleepy, then by all means you could just lay back and just listen to the water roll by and watch the clouds as they drift by, and the next thing you know, you're drifting off to sleep in one of the most peaceful places ever, taking a nap down by the river. That's my number four.
By the river.
Rodrigo, what is your number four?
My number four is when I started working, when I first moved to Kansas, I got this job at a TV station, and my quote unquote, I didn't have an office, but my editing booth was also the sound booth. Because this was like a little tiny place.
Sure.
I definitely fell asleep a couple times there. It was nice because when the sound booth door is closed, nobody messes with it, because you don't, like, for those who don't know, the sound booth is where you record audio. So walking up to the sound booth and like knocking on it is like the worst thing that you can do to a producer. So sound booth was closed. Nobody was coming. I was just sitting there editing. And every once in a while, I would just put my arms down, put my head down, and maybe sleep for like 5 or 6 minutes. Just like, you know, enough to where I wasn't like dying.
Yep.
And then I'd be like, okay, time to get moving. Because, you know, stuff happens in life. You don't get a lot of sleep. Like I said, it's probably going to be a theme. Suffer from migraines a lot. So sometimes I'd come into work having slept about an hour or two. And so I was like, well, I can either risk a nap and, you know, have my boss walk in on me being asleep and get mad, or be completely non-functional for the rest of the day. So I would do that sometimes. Fun fact, never got caught. But then they moved me because they wanted to like be a real production place with a legit sound booth. So they put a bunch of new stuff into the sound booth, and they were like, hey, Rodrigo, so you don't feel bad, here's a laptop so that you can so edit with at your desk.
You can go like, home.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Well, and that's actually really opened the door up to that, but that's a different show.
Yeah. I think the edit bay may pop up on someone else's list here pretty soon. But Matthew, in the meantime, how about we get to your number three?
My number three seems like one of the greatest places in the world. And once again, fictional, because not really a big napper. I will point out that later in my list, there are a couple of actual real places. But literally looking back in my nearly 50 years on the planet, I couldn't say to myself, hey, I've taken a lot of naps and I've really enjoyed or disenjoyed them. So my number three, based on the fact that I could probably hang out with some really cool folks, most of whom were probably just going to be playing cards because they didn't get called out with the four main people, the Hall of Justice where you can meet such luminaries as El Dorado and Samurai and Black Vulcan. You can meet Wonder Woman, although she's never actually there. She's always off busy doing things. Hang out with Zan and Jaina, clean up after Wonder Dog. But there's probably some really great couches in the back, because Apache Chief, I don't know if you guys know this, Apache Chief is like 150 feet tall. So they have to have really big beds. Not like your California King, you know, where you're like, oh, this is like 7 feet by 7 feet. No, I'm talking a bed so big you could park in it. I'm talking a bed where you just climb in and it takes you 4 days to get in and 4 days to get out. That's really amazing. And if you take a drink of water, you better bring a lot. Maybe you want a drink that has an undertow. But that's why I think it would be really cool to just hang out, play some cards, and take a nap in the Hall of Justice. And hear Ted Knight narrating
Meanwhile,
in the restroom. You know, it would be really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can't disagree with you there. My number three is one that I've only had the pleasure of doing once in my life, but it was very, very pleasurable. And unfortunately, my backyard does not have big trees. I've only been living here 12 years, and the trees haven't grown into their full stately size yet. So when you don't have trees that have grown into stately sizes, it is almost impossible to string a hammock between them. But I have been in backyards that do have hammocks. And man, if you get in a good hammock and you're just rocking back and forth, and again, this is a nice early spring. Maybe you got a pullover on, but the sun is shining, so you get a little warm. Maybe you have your earbuds in your ears so you can hear the latest Major Spoilers podcast or whatever that you may be listening to. Maybe some Vivaldi. And then you're just rocking back and forth. It's kind of like the river. You just rock back and forth. You're listening to something good. You're staring at the environment, the beautiful nature around you. And the next thing you know, you're off to sleep. So my number three place to take a nap: in the backyard, in a hammock, where no one's going to disturb you.
A hammock just feels like it might be like seasick inducing to me.
No, not really. Because, I mean, do you ever sit in a rocking chair? Have you ever sat in a rocking chair?
I tend to avoid rocking chairs. Chairs with movement and fat men are natural enemies in the wild.
But what about your chair at work? Doesn't it rock back and forth a little bit?
A little bit.
Yeah, my chair like that. You can set your hammock to rock as much or as little as you want to. In fact, the hammock wants to stabilize unless there's a breeze that is rocking you back and forth. But you just sit there, and unless you're actively swinging it, which you can with your leg, but you just kind of lay there and just let it all, you know, envelop you and enjoy your time.
Think about how you and the skipper got stranded on this island and how you won't get home for another 15 years.
Except the skipper's not on the top hammock, because that would just be bad.
No, skipper's on the bottom hammock.
Yeah. Rodrigo, what do you have for number three?
My number three is a place where, so a lot of these places are kind of suboptimal to take for sleep, but I end up having to sleep there anyway. My number three is kind of mildly designed to sleep in. And the more important thing is that, unlike, say, at work, nobody's going to come and like gently be like, hey, wake up. They're going to be like, what are you doing?
Right.
Are you?
But my number three, if something needs your attention, somebody will come by and be like, hey, wake up, you need to see this. And that's a hospital waiting room. I spend a lot of time in hospital waiting rooms for lots of reasons. I have a large family, people get sick, so you end up there and everybody's stressed. But I have an amazing ability in that the more stressed out I am, the sleepier I get. it's like it's like an asymptote, right? It's like I'm like sleepy, sleepy, sleepy. Oh, things are actually dangerous. And then it like spikes up and then I'm like awake. And then it's like, if things are too dangerous and I can't do anything about it, then I'm asleep again.
You're going to go out happy.
Yeah. It's like, we used to drive back in like ice, like from shoots. And the guy who was driving, he'd be like, you know, like twitch reflex, like the steering wheel to keep us on the road. And I would just sleep the whole way because I'm like, you know what? There's nothing I can do. Anyway, hospital waiting room. It's just, it's like that, that tension sleep can't you can't match it. It's like, you know, something like you're worried about stuff, your body gives out, you sleep, you like pass out. Hospital waiting room.
Hospital grading waiting room. Good, good one right there, Rodrigo. We are into our top two, our final two places to take a nap, Matthew, and I'm curious about your number two.
You won't be once I've told you the story, because my number two is a real thing that happened to me. Now, as often happens with my number twos, I have to give you a little bit of background in order to make this story make even the slightest bit of coherent sense. In the year 1989, I packed everything I owned into a 1981 Pontiac and drove across the state of Kansas to Fort Hays State University, where I moved in to a residence hall, a dormitory, paradoxically the same dormitory that my grandmother had gone to 50-odd years earlier, back when it was the all-girls dorm. When I got there, it was the co-ed dorm. Now, this is important in that I didn't go home from that dorm for like 5 years. I literally lived in that dorm, even in the summers, because, well, my family is terrible, and that's fine. So, the summer of my first year at Fort Hays State University, in the co-ed dormitory, I was there.
That's your first real six-string?
Yeah, it was a bit of six-string. This is the Lyndon LaRouche Toad Frog Massacre story. Okay. No, that's a different story. No, anyway, I was hanging out. I was in the dorm. And people had started showing up to move in for what would have become my sophomore year at the university. And a young lady showed up and seemed to be in need of assistance. So I assisted the young lady in moving her things into her room. We found her room. We put her things in her room, helped her put some stuff together. She said bye to her parents. We hung out. She might have kissed me. And that's why my number two place to take a nap is with a girl and or person of any, you know, sort that you've just met. Because we were both really, really, you know, tired and had done a whole bunch of work. There was no real reason to take a nap with a person you've just met, other than the fact that, hey, we're 18 years old. We're off at school for the first time. We, and, you know, a footnote, at the age of 48, I still actually talk to this woman every once in a while. She lives like 30 minutes away. Her name is Erica. Hi, Erica, if you're listening. But it's very important that you know that that is one of the two memorable naps that I can think of in the entirety of the world. And I remember Bouncing Boy's real name. So that's why my number two, go take a nap with a person you've just met. Get their permission. Make sure they're on board with this. But take a nap with a person you've just met.
All right, there you go. My number two. Again, something that I've had the pleasure of doing maybe once or twice. Do you guys know those like they're like folding chairs, but they have the floaties on them so you can float in a pool?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
On the perfect day, you can sit in those and float in a pool with your drink in your hand or in the little cup holder thing. And you can just relax in the middle of the pool. There's no wind. The sun again is shining. It's very comfortable. Like the sun seems to be this recurring theme in my top five this week.
You're basically a cat. You just want to take a nap.
Yeah, you just want to curl up. But you know, the nice thing is you've got the water again. You've got the sun. You may have a little some drink in you, and you're just laying back and you're nice and cool, even on a hot day, floating in that the floating chair, not the inflatable one, but literally the floating chair.
Right,
your
the
private
one with
pool.
The pontoons on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's super comfortable. I highly recommend it to everyone to do that at least once, to take a nap in one of those things. But make sure somebody's checking on you so you don't burn. Because even if you're wearing SPF 900, you lay out there long enough, you're still going to get burned. So my number two, floating in a private pool. Super, super relaxing. Super, super enjoyable. Rodrigo, what do you have for number two?
My number two is another kind of necessity nap place, but one that was actually pretty nice. One time when I was out on a shoot, you know, if the sun is Steven's theme, then getting a terrible migraine is mine. I was out on a shoot, got a really bad migraine, managed to finish the shoot, but I was like, I can't drive home. I just feel too bad. So I managed to drive, and this was in rural Kansas. So I just drove out to a field and I parked my car by the side of it, and I just took a nap in the back.
Yep.
I've done. So this was a company car. So specifically, it was a 2003 Chevrolet Impala, and the aughts Impalas are not like when people think of like Chevy Impala. That's not what they are. They're just like big old sedans. You know, they're not like the muscly cars of yesterday. But have a spacious enough backseat that you can lay down, maybe just with your knees curled up a little bit. It's all good. Just, you know, manage to like lay down, take like an absolute bare bones nap, wake up, and then manage to drive home once my problems had passed.
Okay. Nice. Chevy Impala, middle of an empty field, hoping the farmer doesn't have the no trespassing sign up.
I mean, there weren't any houses nearby. Like, that's the good thing about Kansas is, like, no one's going to sneak up on you.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Wow. I think we've climbed all the way up to our number ones. And, Matthew, what do you have for number one?
My number one is without question the most memorable nap in the entirety of my life. And much like many of Rodrigo's stories, it takes place at work. But it takes place at work for a different reason. And sometimes when I come to top five, I'm like, we're going to have a fun, awesome time. And sometimes I realize that my number one is going to sound like just a terrible repudiation of capitalism and the modern healthcare system. In the year 1999, I had a minor surgery. I had some stuff removed from my neck, what they call a lipoma. And because I didn't really have very good insurance and because I didn't have any vacation, I had to go back to work way before I should have. So I returned to work as a master control operator at the CBS affiliate in the middle of the middle of the night, the dead of winter. Just ridiculously stupid move on my part. It's one of the things that I actually look back and I go, young Matthew, you ignorant slut, what are you doing? But I'm sitting, I'm doing my job okay with one hand and a drain coming out of literally out of my flesh. But after a while, my pain pills start to wear off. And I didn't want to take more because I was working in the master control and having to run episodes of Deep Space Nine and commercials. But after about 3 a.m. at a television station, there really isn't anything to do. You just point it at the right station and you sit there till 7. And so I was in terrible pain, but I found that if I sat down on the floor with my back against the sliding glass door between the front of my office and the cool tape storage room, that I got this wonderful cooling effect across my back and my shoulder. And it was the most wonderful thing. And that glass door was my friend. And I love it to this day. And somehow, literally sitting on the floor, leaning on a solid glass door with surgical stitches and a drain in, I fell asleep. And I had this lovely sort of bizarre, weird, whimsical dream. If you've seen Fantasia, imagine that, only with more Boston music involved. And I think I was asleep for maybe 10 minutes. But I woke up feeling like I was awesomely refreshed and I felt okay. And even though I was still having pain from, you know, the incision that I should not have let out of the hospital and sent back to work with, he underlines once again that I felt good and I was fine. And I got through that shift. And I called in sick the next 2 days because there's no way I should have been there in the first place. But that nap and the resulting fever dreams was one of the more wonderful memories that I have of that terrible haunted building filled with mold and rust and terrible things. So really, my number one is just a melange of all sorts of stuff that you didn't expect to hear about in top five. You're welcome.
All right, my number one on the top five places to take a nap kind of goes along with Rodrigo. What was your Edit Bay one, Rodrigo? Which number was that? Four? Three?
Four, I
four.
Think.
Yeah, it was four, yeah.
Mine is also the same way because there's something about... Now, this one, ironically, has nothing to do with it being warm, has nothing to do with the sun being out. But when I'm in the Edit Bay and I'm editing shows for major spoilers or whatever, and it's dark and you're doing whatever it is you're doing... Sometimes the long edit sessions can just start to suddenly hit you, especially right after lunch. And so, you know, 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're starting to kind of get a little drowsy. And it's like, you know what? You probably ought to just let this file render for like an hour and then come back and finish. And one of the things, if you've ever been in my office, is I've got a super comfortable couch that we moved from the upstairs when we bought a different couch that we then got rid of to replace with a couch that's almost identical to the couch that's now in my office.
The circle of couch.
I know, it's the great circle of couch. But this couch is long enough to where, you know, a 6'5" person could lay down comfortably and stretch out. Or if you're sick in the middle of the night and you don't want to infect the rest of your family and you're like, you know what, maybe I just ought to take one for the team and sleep on this couch. The couch in my office is really, really comfortable. And I got a little pillow and there's a blanket if it gets too chilly. But the bad thing is, the only bad thing about this couch, and this is why I rarely use a blanket if I lay down to take a nap on it, is that it's leather. And if you have ever slept on leather, for whatever reason, it gets really, really warm. And so you don't sleep on that couch for very long. And in fact, it's almost got a self-built-in timer because literally 1 hour after I lay down, I'm wide awake, my render is done, and I'm ready to get back to work. And I'm refreshed. So my number one top five place to my number one place to take a nap on my top five list is on the couch in my office. There you go. Rodrigo, you're going to wrap up our top five this week with your number one.
Give us a capstone. Just kill this one.
All right. I feel that you can tell that my list gets progressively more real with each entry. But it's going to end up in an up note because my number one is my parents' old couch. Because, again, I don't really take a lot of naps, but when I go to visit my parents, usually for the holidays, I end up really jet lagged, see my number five. So they used to have this couch, this like big overstuffed couch. And they used to joke that it was magic because the moment that you sat down on it, you started falling asleep. It was very comfortable. My parents' house is very nice. It's warm. It's you know, dry, I guess. That's what you want in a house. I mean, sure enough, you know, I'd get in, put my luggage down, sit on the couch, and I'd start falling asleep immediately. Lots of people have gotten a chance to sleep on that couch. It's a very nice couch to sleep on. Unfortunately, it has since been replaced because my parents' dog, I used to hide under it and eventually started like hiding kind of inside it. So they had to get rid of it.
Stogie ate the couch.
It's not so much that she ruined it. It's just that they really like it wasn't a bad. It wasn't a good place for her to be. Like she was kind of getting older, but she still insisted on like flattening herself and like slithering under the couch.
Aww.
So they had to get rid of the couch so that the dog wouldn't do that anymore. They got a new couch. She hated it, immediately peed all over it. And then they had to get a third couch. Their current couch, very nice, very comfortable, but it's not like that like that old couch. So yeah, my number one, my parents' old, now legendary, now lost to the ages couch.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen, our top five places to take a nap, some of them real, some imaginary, some have been field tested, some of them have not, but they are all on our top
literal
five
fields.
Places to take a nap, correct. Here's the part where it becomes a little bit more interactive. Listeners, head over to majorspoilers.com, and in the comment section for this episode, we want you to share your top five places to take a nap. They could be, you know, real, hopefully places that you've experienced, but we want to read them. Everybody wants to read them. Why? Because everybody loves a list. Take care.
This podcast is copyright 2019 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.